Well, a usual greeting in South Africa would be, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's exciting to be here. Some of your faces look very familiar, and it's good to see you all. We have been in South Africa for 10 years. Can you believe that? I was 50 years old when I went, and I'm 60 years old now. We were 30 years of marriage, and we're going to be 40 years of marriage in March. God has blessed in a remarkable way, and we're very thankful for it. But God really took us down a very difficult journey for 10 years in a lot of ways. People don't even know that. 10 years, starting in ministry 10 years ago, and it was started in October of 2000, we were birthed. Whenever you have a new ministry, it's painful. You go into a country and you look at things and you say, what do I do first? You say, well, it's English speaking. It's easy. It's not. Words are different. If I would say the word occupation, what do you think about? What? Job. How about moving into your flat? And the flat is the apartment. Or you go to the phone book and say, I want to look up a real estate agent. Well, that sounds easy, but that's an estate agent. Or you have a car problem and you want to buy a part for the car. What do you look? Auto parts or spares? It really becomes very interesting, and it stretches you. And then you have to remember you're driving on the wrong side of the street. And that's really difficult. In fact, that could be dangerous, especially for me. I scared several people over the years at the beginning part of it. I do pretty good now. But then you say, how do you get directions? You can't even say the word of the name of the street. And you're going to ask for directions? I don't think so. So the first year is really a lot of learning. Now you say, well, you know what a nonprofit organization does here. Well, what does a nonprofit organization look like in South Africa? Or what about the building codes? Or what about the taxes? Or think about it. How do you exchange a rand for a dollar? Right now it's a good rand, or I should say a good dollar. It's 8.1 to every dollar. That's good. At one time it was 5 to every dollar. That's bad. And in fact, in a matter of that range, 8 to 1 to 5 to 1, that could be almost $50,000. When you talk about a budget. So it's not a little thing, it's a big thing. And so it's really a kind of a uphill learning curve at first. But so we had a lot of those things. We bought 2 farms, if you remember, and we thought we were going to start right away. Well, we didn't start right away. We found out that a few years before that, they changed the law. I learned right into the ministry that you don't go by opinions, you go by facts. So you say, the real estate agent says, or the estate agent says, this is what you can do, show it to me. Because it can get you in trouble. And that's what happened. We bought 2 farms thinking we could do whatever we want, and we never got the rezoning of it. It took us a couple of years. Now, you say, well, that's hard. And it was. And I could say that was horrible going through that. But you know what? During the time that we bought the 2 farms and we were able to work through some of the learning curves that we're going through, we had the 2 farms. And we bought them for $70,000. Sounds good, right? Well, before we moved to the property that we're at now, God orchestrated that the farms sold for $300,000. That's not too bad for a financial investment. So one of the things that I can say I've learned is God has a plan. And sometimes it's not our plan. And it is really hard for an American like me and Lois can vouch for that, just be patient sometimes. And then we get, recently, we get I was invited to a meeting on August 8th and 9th at EBM to find out the finances weren't real good. In fact, they weren't even good. They were horrible. And a few weeks later, we get an email saying that they're closing. Well, has God good there, or has God bad there? He's good. And I can tell you more good stories than bad stories. And I'm excited about that. I can tell you that some of our single missionaries and that went to their bank account after getting the news 24 hours later. And their bank account in South Africa had more money in it than they did the day before. Who gave that money? South Africans. When we first started at Bethesda, what happened? We were told we aren't going to find house parent couples and we aren't going to be able to raise much money in South Africa. We have five couples. We have a sixth couple ready to go into the house. And 54% of our money, operating money, comes from South Africa. That means only 46% comes from the United States. So God has really been working in an amazing way. It's not by our plan, though. There's a lot of things that we thought, this is the way we need to do it. And God said, nope, you're going to be patient. In fact, this past year, it's been really hard. If you have watched us on our Facebook or through our emails and stuff like that we send out in updates on that, you'll see we needed a road entrance. We needed an entrance to our property. It'd be like your entrance here going to the street. And the government said at the last minute, thou shalt build entrance. And we started the process a couple years ago at 2.5 million rand. It only cost us $1.5 million, $1.4 million to build a house. That's about almost $300,000. So we said, okay, it was a learning curve for us. So we said, okay, we said to the staff, we're going to appeal the process. Can Christians appeal the process in a right way? Yes. So we appealed the process. And we can honestly say we appealed and put as much pressure on it. We finished the entrance of the property just about September, I guess it was. We finished it in that. It didn't cost us 2.5 million rand. It only cost us 800,000 rand, which is still a lot of money. But again, God controls that. And you say, well, is the investment worth it? Well, I hope by the end of the night, you will see it is worth it. You will see 40 kids that we take care of on a regular basis that we're trying to minister and share the gospel. And that's really exciting to us. It's just like having your own kids. A few months ago, we had a baby came with a five-year-old. And the baby was 15 days old, two weeks premature too. So the baby was a tiny little baby. Well, we have the privilege of taking care of that baby now. And it turned out we had the brother and sister a couple years before that. So again, how does God work? Sometimes it's not by our plan. And so is it worth it? At our school, we started a school a few years ago saying, okay, if we're going to be successful. Now, and here's the thing that you have to understand. We're in a first world country with third world pockets. I can take you to any part of Indianapolis and you can show me the fanciest house and I can show you and match it. In fact, I was at the house of the president of Volvo Motors, the auto place, auto president in that, and his house was beautiful. you drove up this mountain and you got there and you got greeted by a butler and all of those things. It was beautiful. And you say, well, how did he get involved? Well, here's another strange story. We have a video. We shared the video at one night at they have the South African Baptist Association in that. And so we shared that. It was a hot, horrible, hot day. And we showed the video, and everybody left right away. But we still showed it. Because at the end, they ran about an hour late, which is not unusual in Africa. It's very easy to... In fact, I could have 2 hours, did you say? 3 hours? So, you know. So anyway, we did all of that. And so I said, what a waste of time showing that video. The pews are just pretty much like they are here in the church that we go to. And about the same amount of people would be at the church in that. And so we went, and the next week, sat behind in front of someone. I turned around to greet him, and I says, I'm John Mixon, and I'm from Bethesda Outreach. He says, oh, he says, you're the one that showed the video last week. I would have said, that was a waste of time. But he was the president of Volvo Motors, and his wife, for the next 2 or 3 years, volunteered at Bethesda School. They're from Dublin, Ireland. Can you imagine Dublin, Ireland? They have Christians there. Isn't that exciting? And we can say we have touched a lot of lives. We have a couple from Germany that comes on a regular basis every year. They buy jewelry that the kids make. They take it back to Germany. They sell it in a July Christmas sale. And then they send the profit back to us. I can't get better than that. And so that's Germany. And so we have a lot of different, like the octopus, a lot of their arms go out a lot of different ways. And God has really done that in 10 years in a remarkable way. But again, our plan isn't always what it turns out to be. So we have our entrance of our property done. We're excited about that. Now, we're waiting for the proclamation that says we're an official village. It would be kind of like a subdivision here in South or in the United States saying that it's okay to be residents of that subdivision. It's taken us 10 years for that? Not quite, 7 years. We're working towards it, though, and we're all legal. But again, God has a timetable for that. And then from there, we can start and open a new home of six for 8 more kids, but that would give us 6 families, and then our 1 community home, so we would have 7. So in 10 years, we Lord willing, we'll be in up to 7 homes. And we have a lot of foster children that we work with in the community, and we can't even count those. On a given day, we can probably feed 200, 250 orphans just from feeding them. That is not unusual. That's not an exaggeration. This year, though, with the EBM thing, you say, okay, how does that work? Well, we were under our parenting organization was EBM. So they were we brought in our money to them, we were accountable to them in a lot of ways. But from the very get-go, God established the Bethesda Board. And the Bethesda Board really was the governing body of Bethesda from the get-go. So he knew a plan a long time ago. And so when we have worked through the process of going independent, we talked about it 3 or 4 years ago. And we didn't want to hurt EBM at all. But we rehearsed that plan for several years. Because we knew finances weren't doing well with finances. There were times that we were not able to get reports for one time that was over a year that we didn't have a report of how much money we had. And so that was really frustrating. And God worked through that, and we were able to keep them accountable. A couple years ago, we sat with the board and said we did a memorandum of understanding. We said we want all but $10,000 to come to Bethesda every month, and we want a report that goes with that. And they've been very faithful to that since then. So when we got the email, we were really kind of surprised. We didn't expect that to happen. But again, we had rehearsed the plan. August 8th, we went to the meeting. August 15th, we were our own 501c3. We had enough people that God has brought along. We hired a CFO. We already had a year ago established that we were going to have our board meeting here in America. So that was already established. We brought on 4 new board members. And right now, our new name in America is Bethesda Outreach Ministries International Incorporate. And our South African name would be Bethesda Outreach Ministry South Africa. We're a nonprofit on both sides of the ocean. We can give you tax receipts on both sides of the ocean. In fact, the difference in South Africa is here you can get a receipt by giving to the church. There you can't. The only 2 ways that you can give to South Africa and get a tax deduction is by being a school or an orphan ministry. And we're both. And that's part of the reason that we can get funds given to us. In fact, one of the things that they more than encourage, they say to the companies, you have to give back a certain percentage of your profits. So that has been a really good thing, and God has blessed in a remarkable way. So that's a little bit about Bethesda. And we're excited about it. It's been hard. I'll be the first one to admit. It's hard to explain in a positive way that your parenting organization just went under. He was good before that, and he was good after that. And I'm very thankful for them. If it wasn't for EBM and their vision 10 years ago, I wouldn't be standing here today. And sometimes that happens in ministries. We don't understand it. We could try to figure it out. You know, is it a board problem? Is it a sending church problem? Is it a missionary problem? Who knows? And we have had the ability since August 15th to be on our own, and God has met our needs. And we were praying, but the day before I left, we had a meeting, a bad meeting, if you want to look at it from an administrator standpoint. How do you cut about 150 to 160,000 rand, which is about $20,000 out of your budget? How many want to be part of the meeting? You've had them here. I mean, we've all had them. And they said, well, we can't. It's a lean budget. I said, that wasn't my question. We have to. We have to make a plan in order to say, what happens if? And we came up with that plan. And we prayed. And we said, we want to take this to the kids, and we want to help them understand that they're part of this prayer too. And so our prayer was, Lord, you need to come up with at least $20,000 to send to South Africa, or our staff isn't going to get paid right away. They're going to be short. We're going to be short that much money. And in God's sense of humor, a little bit before October 15th, we sent $20,000 to South Africa. The day that we sent that, he also sent us about about $40,000 from the South African government. They arrived on the same day. And God did meet that need. And it's really hard to explain that. But God is good through it all. What is the gospel? Let's shift gears a little bit. You know, we have a country here. If you said, what's the gospel in Scotland, what would they say?
They'd say, what's the gospel?
Okay. What about Togo?
They'd say, could you please speak in French?
Okay. What about from you?
If the Bible is in my language,
Okay? And if I go back to when I was in second grade, if you had asked me what the gospel was, I would have said, it's a little booklet that you get, the Gospel of John, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. That's all I knew about it for a long time. And what was it? Okay, so how does it continue to move? And that's the part that's exciting. The gospel impacts us in a lot of ways and continues to impact us. What is the gospel and why is it important today? It's the good news, isn't it? It's the best news that we can have and share. But as believers, are we that excited about it? Sometimes I would say no. I've heard some people say, that's the pastor's job. Is it? That's not. It's all of our jobs. Good news addresses the most serious problem that you and I have of human beings. The problem is simply this. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus lived a perfect, righteous, and obedient in obedience to God. Not for his own well-being, but for his people. He did for me what I couldn't do on my own. Because I was a sinner, just like you. That's pretty hard to believe. Some of the stories you hear back at the very beginning, how do you know how God's working? And it's fun. When I'm 60 years old, I can tell a lot more stories than I was 50 years old. How God worked. I have a lot more confidence that the gospel is real. Isn't it? And some of you are older than me, so you can even be more excited about it. And we should be. The gospel gives us a lot of hope. It's the best news that we can have. What is the result of the gospel? What's your theme verse? Colossians 1:6. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truths. Again, second grade, I could take you to probably the tile of the floor, on the floor that I was accepted Christ. I never doubted that. But I really didn't know anything about what that meant, except for that I was going to heaven. And it's much more than that. The gospel gives us all the life, answers to life. It gives us hope. It gives us encouragement. It gives us instruction for being a parent. It is really important part of our life. And how does it affect us? I was a young boy. A guy named Mr. Mole. M-O-L-E. In fact, his first name was Amos Mole. Lived across the street from us. And he would say, Johnny, we're going to have devotions. And I would go over and we would cut his grass. And as a little boy, my parents weren't saved. I want to throw that in. And Amos Mole would invite us in I would have devotions with him. We did that for years. Literally years. About 18 years of age, and we're skipping a whole bunch of the story, but in 18 years of age, one of the things he would say to me, John, you need to come out to First Baptist Hamburg and you need to visit our church. I did. That sounds great. I met my wife the first night. Church got really good. I didn't mind going at all. I'm very thankful for my father-in-law who looked at a kid that, you know what? It's kind of a funny thing. Mr. Mole, I was a tool and die maker before I came into child care. And so I was a machinist and worked on all kinds of equipment. I love doing that still to this day. I love working with plans and doing all of that stuff. But you know what? That's the reason I went into tool and die was because of Mr. Mole. He had a machine shop in his basement. He cut hair in his basement. He developed pictures in his basement. He took our wedding pictures, black and white back then. Sorry, it wasn't color. Anyway, he didn't do color. And the thing about it was, guess whose hair he cut? He heard about the three boys across the street for years, but Lois's dad got his hair cut there. After he heard about the kid across the street and who I was, my father-in-law had a little sympathy for me. And he really took me under his wing and discipled me. There are other pastors. And then our kids came. We have two biological children. We've had about 68 foster children over the last 30-some years. We have about 22 grandchildren, 5 biological grandchildren, if you want to divide it up that way. And now we have 40 kids in South Africa, and we're discipling. The gospel's growing. And that's what it's all about. And you know what? We had a 10-year anniversary. You had a 50-year anniversary not too long ago. You're as much part of that 10th anniversary for us as we are. Why? Because you sent us. And you said, well, is that worth it? I hope so. And we're going to have Lois come up, and I'm going to let her tell a little story about Joanna. And she's going to tell a little bit about the history of the family. And then we're going to start a video clip. Now, this is a 10th anniversary video that we put together. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give your pastor copies of them, and you can share them, and we don't have enough for everybody, but you can share them. And you're going to see the testimony of Joanna, and you're going to see here Lois in the background. The next video we're going to do is we're going to do a video clip of what we call the Gospels in Motion. And a staff member wrote this, and it goes through Genesis and all the way to the end of the Bible, and the kids memorized it. And I think you will enjoy it. In fact, there were 400 people plus at our anniversary, and at the end of this, at the end of them singing, I really didn't sing it. Lois would say it wasn't singing. I would say it is singing, because in South Africa there's always movement, even in speaking. And anyway, they sang it, and everybody just gave them a standing ovation. And I think you will enjoy it. Is probably about 7-8 minutes, maybe even a little longer than that, that they had to memorize all of this. And it's from grade R, which is kindergarten, through 7th grade. So I hope you enjoy it. Lois, come on up and tell them a little bit about Joanna and their family. And she has a special mic for you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening tonight. We just have enjoyed our time in South Africa so much, and John could go on and on and on with stories, but we're thankful. One of my greatest joys is to be able to bring children into Bethesda. I'm a social worker by trade, counselor. I counsel children and women, and just enjoy that part of my ministry. But one day, we have a close friend, her name is Suzanne, and she has the opportunity to care for 90 orphans. And many of these orphans are from child-headed homes. And they sometimes have a granny who looks after them, you know, maybe lives down the street just a little bit. But most of the children are living on their own. And I'm sure parents that have younger children, if something happened to you today, you would have made arrangements for someone to look after your children. However, there are so many people dying, and you just can't even grasp how many people are dying on a regular basis of HIV/AIDS. This one particular day, Suzanne phoned me, and she said, "Mama Lois, you must come. You must come right away." And I thought, oh boy, I wonder what Suzanne's up to now. So I went, and she said, "Mama Lois, I have a mommy. She's dying. There's 5 children." She said, "Won't you come and see these children and take them to Bethesda?" So I quickly phoned John. I said, "Oh boy, John, I've got myself in a pickle," because I wasn't sure if we could take the kids or not. Because most of the time our homes right now are over full. We account for around 8 children per house. I think one of our homes has 9 children. And that's a lot of children for parents to care for. So anyway, 5 children to add into a house. And would you believe that we had room? One of our house parents, they were new. We had just opened a house. We had 3 children in the house. And so we could move these 5 children into the house. But I went to that house. And this is where Johanna lived with her brothers and cousins. Often in South Africa, the children will say, "That's my brother," when it's really her cousin. And so you might have brothers and sisters or brothers and cousins and so on. But in this particular family, there was one cousin and then 3 siblings to Johanna. And I went into, with Suzanne, I went into this little tin shack, and here on the dirt floor, with just some blankets underneath, Selena, and here she was lying on the ground, and she just grabbed my hand and she said, "Please, please take care of my children." Found out that the children hadn't eaten in 5 days. And Johanna, 8 years old at that time, was the one caring for Selena. So we decided to, yes, that we would take the children. John came with a larger vehicle, and we loaded up the children, took them back to Bethesda, to the house that they were going to be staying. The mommy had a meal ready, and you'll hear some of the story from Johanna herself. But it didn't stop there. Here's the mommy dying, and now no children to even look after her. So I went back to the house, and I stopped at a hospice close by and asked if they would be able to care for this mommy, and they said that they would. So I went back, scooped up Johanna, who was less than, she just weighed hardly anything, put her into our vehicle, took her to the hospice. Selena was dying of AIDS and probably would have died in the next few days. But with some good treatment, she was able to get on some TB medicine because she had TB. And she got on this TB medicine and started thriving. And so I kept going and visiting her and praying with her, reading scripture to her. She only spoke Swana, very little English. But I'd still read scripture to her. And once in a while, someone would be there to help interpret for me. And she kept getting stronger. So when I would go and visit, I'd take her for walks to help her gain her strength back, and so forth. One day, as we were walking down the street, she looked at me and she stopped. And she said, "I want what you have." And at that point, I knew that she was understanding what the gospel was, that Christ died for her sins. And we went back to the hospice, and there was someone there that could interpret for me, and there she accepted Christ as her Savior. It was a few months later, she went back home, and she was still doing pretty well, visited her quite often, and she would come and visit the children, but soon she passed away. And the one thing that she told her sister was, "Tell Lois that I'm home." And she was home with her Savior. And that's a wonderful thing. But I think now would be a good time to hear that.
I have the privilege of not only interviewing Elias and Mimiki, I have the privilege of interviewing one of our children as well. And she agreed to come and be interviewed with me. And we went over some of these questions. These are questions that she and I developed together. And I asked her a little while ago, I said, "Are you nervous?" She said, "Nope, not a bit." So I'm glad for that. Joe, how old are you?
16 years old.
16. Could you step up just a tiny bit? Yeah. And Joe, do you remember how old you were when you came to Bethesda?
I was 8 years old.
8 years old. And I remember that day because I had part in that day. And I remember Selena, her aunt, was caring for her and her brothers, and she was very, very, very sick at that time. Hey, and so we went and drove up in the to her a big vehicle and stuffed them all in this vehicle and took them to their new house. And what did you think when you first got to the new house?
The first thing that came to my mind was that they're stealing us from our family.
Did you hear that? That we were stealing her from her family. Okay. You can keep going.
Yeah, because I didn't know what was happening. We all didn't know what was happening. We were just put into this huge vehicle and then drove off. Mm-hmm. So when I got to the new home, it was huge. I was scared. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, that had to have been so scary for a child. Joe, do you remember the first thing you did when you went to that new house?
Yes. My mom, please stand up, Mama. My special mom, she started with me a bath, and then we all had a bath. Then from there, they gave us new clothes that were so nice and warm. And then we went to the table to eat food. And the first thing that we got there, we were surprised, because me and my brothers haven't eaten in five days. So when we got there, we were surprised. I thought I was in paradise.
And that day was a very cold day. And here they are with, you know, just sleepless clothes. And so, as she said, they were put in warm clothes, and that was just a wonderful thing for her. And then, how has your life changed since you've been at Bethesda?
My life has changed a lot since I came to Bethesda, because when I lived back at home, I didn't know Christ. I was a sinner. I just lived my life. But ever since I came here, they taught me about the Lord. Now I know about the Lord. I'm a Christian. I'm a born again. I live my life to please God. Without my mom, I was not going to know the Lord. My mom and dad. Without them, I was not going to know the Lord. So thanks to them.
That's Joanna. And there was the kids. I mean, she was tiny. I can remember it was a Saturday morning. And I can remember that very plain, getting that family. But the other side of that is they have changed a lot. And God has worked in their life. In fact, we had a team there, and Joanna was sitting at a table. We have a lapa area. It's a grass roof picnic area. And we were working through that, and we're talking. And she says, I have some questions to ask you. And one of the groups that was with us in that, they said, I don't think I've had adults ask me that hard of questions. You know, and if Joanna sat here today, she says, one of the questions was, if God is so good, why did he put you through all of that? Why did he take your mom? And I can remember her saying, she says, that was in the past. Now I need to look forward because I have a heavenly Father. And that's what it's about. That's what changes, isn't it, for all of us? We don't need to be rich. We don't have to have the money or the cars or anything like that. But we have hope through our salvation. Now, the next video is a little different. Now, you have to understand, we have a school of 70 kids. Our goal is to grow it to 95 students this year, and that will make it really packed. We have 3 South African teachers. We have 3 American teachers. And 60 of the 70 children that are represented here, all of them, at least some, probably about 50 of them have 0 parents, even the kids from the community. And probably 10 of them only have 1 parent. So our school is really an orphan problem. And we really want it. And then you have to get into the education and everything else. We live in a first world country there, and you hear the statistics about 35 unemployment rate. You hear about 10% here and you go crazy, but 35 there. But the 35% is deceiving. Because if you were educated and were able to have that education in computers and other different skills, they would be able to be hired immediately. So it's not a lack of jobs, it's a lack of skilled people. And one of the things that we have to do if we're going to be successful in training leaders for the future is getting them educated where they can compete for the first world jobs. You know, we laugh about it and joke about it, but wouldn't it be great someday to have the president of South Africa being from Bethesda? You know, we laugh, but that's not far-fetched. God can do that. We have a president in South Africa right now that has 5 wives. You know, and that's a common practice in South Africa. So it would take a very strong individual to bring back the Christian principles. 85% of the people in South Africa would say that they're Christians. So let's show that last part of the video, and I think you'll enjoy it. And then if you have questions, let me share this before I forget. This is a picture envelope that has the Big Five of South Africa. And if you can name the Big Five of South Africa, which if you go back to the table and you look at them, you can name them. You can have as many as you want. A Christian artist did this and has given us the ability to give them away. They aren't the original. Tom Selleck and people like that, he sells the pictures like that, the originals too. He sold Michael Douglas one for $100,000. That's the original. So they aren't the original, guys. So go ahead and show the video.
Oh, you are God. Yeah.
And that is the gospel in motion. And that's what you, as a church, have been part of for the last 10 years. And we're very, very thankful for the way that you have supported Lois and myself and Bethesda. And we can't put words to say and how much we appreciate that. So thank you. If you have any questions, that's great. If you want to wait till tomorrow, that's great too. But thank you so much.
Thank you. It's just exciting to me when we came up with this verse to think of the gospel growing and bearing fruit all over the world. And this videos and your talk just really illustrates, you know, it's not just here. It's not just in our church. It's outside the doors and it's in the homes and it's around the world. And we are so grateful to have such a wonderful God. Let's say a little prayer and then we'll go eat some dessert. Heavenly Father, we thank you just for the opportunity to be involved with these missionaries and to be at least of some support to them. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would empower them and that you would just open doors and enable them for your work and for your honor and for your glory. Lord, help us at our church to just find that same zeal for our neighborhoods and for our workplaces, and that we know you love them all, and help us to love them also. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.